What's up, No Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear. I'm Jesse. That's Michael. And we have a game on Saturday coming up, Florida State versus Virginia Tech. Michael, this is a fun matchup between two brands that's not so much fun this time around. 4-5 versus 3-6. I don't think either one of us ever expected to be here. One of these programs has already fired their coach. One of these other programs wants to fire their coach. We just seem to be waiting a little bit longer than Virginia Tech did. Man, irregardless to the situation, you know, I was joking on a Virginia Tech podcast last night. Maybe if we're both equally bad, we just will pretend we're both good and we won't know it as long as we're playing each other. It's bad in a vacuum. So regardless, man, it's the last one at Doak. It's a night game under the lights, 7:30 p.m. I'm excited to be back in Tallahassee for this one, along with you as well, for the last home game of this season. So, man, either way, I'm going to have fun watching the game. I'm excited about it. It's another opportunity to get to watch the Seminoles play against a fun Virginia Tech brand that is a good fan base. So we're going to talk all about this game coming up. But before we get into that, Michael, how are you, my friend? And thank you for joining me for another episode.
Thanks for having me again, as always. Yeah, last home game of the season. And who knows? Christmas might come early, Jesse. We might be in the stadium to witness a firing on the field. Not that I want Florida State to lose. Right? I never want Florida State to lose. I'll be cheering for them to win. But if they happen to lose and Christmas comes early, we'll be there to report live.
Yeah, so it's going to be holiday either way, right? We're either going to roast some turkeys and have a little bit of Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Or we're going to get Christmas come early and we're going to get the present we've all been hoping for. But, man, you know, when we talk about this game, right, it is one of those, like I said, it's one of those games that I look forward to because I like the Virginia Tech brand, right? That's a really, really good, dedicated fan base. Anytime I've got an opportunity to work with them back when we played in 2023 since we started doing the podcast, just some of my favorite people to work with. Like, I was on with Sons of Saturday Virginia Tech yesterday. Shout out to Billy Ray and my guys, you know, our guys over there. We were also on with the Boundary Corner podcast. And so shout out to them, Treadmill Horse, all the Virginia Tech community, man. They've always shown us a lot of love. And so I really appreciate them. And their fan base shows up, man. They still show up for a team that's struggling. And so they deserve better than what they're getting right now. And I feel the same with us, right? We're kind of in that same situation right now where it's two proud programs that have fallen on hard times and are trying to get their way back. And, you know, these two teams have some history, right? We've met in conference championship games. Sure. We played for a national championship, which Florida State came out on top in an epic game against, you know, with names like Michael Vick and Peter Wark and just, I mean, you name it, Bobby Bowden, Frank Beamer. The history of this series is there, man. But frankly, we don't play enough. That's my biggest gripe about this series between these two programs. Only four times in the past 15 years, and we have only played in Blacksburg twice since 1989. To me, that is criminal, right? I mean, as someone who has Lane Stadium, like as a college football fan who has seeing a game in Blacksburg at night in Lane Stadium on his bucket list, can we get up there once in a while? Like, that would be nice. And, you know, fun fact, this game was actually supposed to be in Blacksburg this year, but once the ACC expanded and shuffled the schedules, it ended up getting moved to Tallahassee. So they're kind of double dipping. You know, they played in Tallahassee in 23 and then again in this one. So, man, I would love to play more up there. I would love to play them more often. I would love to be able to go see that game in Blacksburg. But, you know, again, when you get back to the series history, Florida State does hold the lead here 24-13-1. But, you know, again, when we talk about some of the games, you go back to 2000 in New Orleans, obviously the game we all remember between Florida State and Virginia Tech. That was the game. Then you have a couple ACC championship games that we played. 05 in Jacksonville was actually one of my very first Florida State games. So, you know, I remember Marcus Vick for Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game. And so this is kind of it was the first time I really ever got to watch Florida State play was against them. And then, you know, I was also, I was there for the swag surfing in 2018.
Yes,
that
you
is
were.
A memory that I choose to block out a little bit. You know, it was really, really fun up until kickoff. And then I was also there in 2023, and that was a really fun game as well. Florida State came out on top in that one, 39-17. So, man, a fun series between these two. I'll throw it back to you for some thoughts on just Florida State versus Virginia Tech as a whole. But one thing I did see that actually my friend from Sons of Saturday sent me this morning that I wanted to read, I thought was a kind of a fun stat here, was they were doing some research on the series for their own channel. And Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech, most of you guys know, famous head coach Frank Beamer, spent a lot of time there, won a lot of games. At Virginia Tech, he faced a bunch of different coaches. I think it was like 10, 12 coaches, at least 10 times throughout his career. Every single coach, except for one, went 500 or better against Frank Beamer, right? That one coach was the GOAT, Bobby Bowden. Wow. Frank Beamer went 1-16 against Bobby Bowden, with the lone win coming in 2007 with Tyrod Taylor late in his career, Bobby's career. So, man, just shout out to Bobby, the absolute GOAT. You know, just really kind of casting a lot of shadows over the Virginia Tech program. So yeah, man, give me some thoughts on this series, man. Again, this is one that I just love the two brands, and I wish we played more often. And I wish we played, I would love to see these two get back, right? That's the big thing. I would love to see both of these be that 9-10 playoff type of teams that it was when they first joined the ACC, because when they're at their peaks, this is a really fun matchup to watch play out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you hear Virginia Tech, obviously the face that comes to mind is Michael Vick. I mean, you remember when we were kids and Michael Vick was, everybody wanted to play Michael Vick on Madden.
Everybody wanted to be on the playground.
You wanted to be on the playground. I'm Mike Vick. I'm running around with the ball, just hanging out, just doing my thing. Like, I mean, Virginia Tech was, and then of course, like, I remember, you know, sitting there at the TV glued, watching, you know, 99 in that national title game, and you had all the NFL stardom on that field in that game, and how crazy that game was, and how you were so worried that, man, how is Florida State going to stop this offense with Vic and everything? And obviously P-Dub and Chris Winkie and all them did their, you know, obviously the famous catch that you see on every montage with Florida State, with P-Dub with the catch behind the guy. Like, I mean, just insane. The punt return, like, even after that, I mean, think about the Virginia Tech game in 2012, where the last time we were in Blacksburg, where, you know, Rashad Greene catches that little slant route from EJ Manuel and takes to the house in the final seconds to win that game when you thought, man, Florida State's about to lose this game. Obviously, the swag surfing. You were at the game. I was driving in a U-Haul across the United States, moving to California, watching that game on my phone. Willie Taggart's first game, super hyped, thinking, all right, we back, man. We got some war daddies, lethal simplicity. It was lethal, all right.
Yeah, once it kicked off, we were under the U-Haul. Did you get the license plate of that truck? Because that's pretty much what happened for four quarters.
It was, but yeah, you know, and of course, like, you know, I think Florida State's, you know, entrance to a football game is bar none the best in the country. I don't think there's anything better. But in the top five and in the top three, I would definitely put Enter Sandman. It's a bucket list item of mine. I want to go. I want to see it. But I want to see it when they're good, not when they're, you know, I've heard our guys at Sons of Saturday talk about how, you know, the sad thing is the best part of Virginia Tech football is the entrance. And then after that, it's pretty much been poo-poo, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, Virginia Tech, when they're good, they were, it was supposed to be, when they were brought into the ACC, it was supposed to be Florida State, Clemson, Miami, Virginia Tech vying for, you know, like the SEC, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, like that top echelon. That's what that was supposed to be. And it just, after that first couple years, it just never lived up to that. And so, you know, it's sad, but that's just kind of been Virginia Tech, especially after 2011. You know, they were winning 10 games every year up until 2011. Then Frank Beamer went through kind of his, you know, his Bobby end of the kind of run. You know, he was only winning 7 games. He won 8 games. Then they bring in Justin Fuentes from Memphis, and we should have, you know, we should have known. You come from Memphis, you get one good season, and then you suck the rest of the way, and it just hasn't worked out for him.
Yeah, and I know from talking to a lot of Virginia Tech people that one of the biggest problems that they've had is they've underfunded their football program for a long time. And so this last one, I think, was a wake-up call for them. I know that I believe Billy told me last night that they were supposed to go something from like it was one of the guys on Boundary Corner said they were supposed to go from around the athletic funding as a whole from like $140 million a year to around $200 million, with most of that going towards football. So they're trying to get back serious into football. You hope the damage is not irreparable, that it's been underfunded for too long. But I think a lot of it's going to matter who they get with the next hire, right? If they can, you know, they're talking about being able to now pay $10-12 million for a football coach. And so if that can get them a good hire, I think they could turn that thing around up there, because it's still a big net. You know, I still think of Virginia Tech in like one of the top tier brands of the ACC, even though they haven't been winning lately. Because like you said, man, if the crazy thing is, when they came over from the Big East, Miami and Virginia Tech, had they had kept winning like they did in the Big East. Now, granted, Virginia Tech did in the early stages, but Miami, of course, has been a doormat since they joined the conference. had they have kept that winning, we probably would never even be in the conversation that we're in now with trying to leave the ACC and being a second-rate conference and all that stuff. If you'd had those four powers, because at the time the SEC really wasn't special, yeah. You know, this conference could have looked a lot different. And so it stinks that that's the way things played out. But yeah, man, I mean, it does seem like they're at least putting some things in place to get that program back where it needs to be. And I hope so, because, you know, again, a rising tide lifts all ships, and we do play them. I don't know that we're going to be in the ACC that long, but we do play them again in 2028 up in Blacksburg. So that's one I have circled on my calendar for sure. But Michael, we're going to talk about this game. But before we do, there is another game that I just want to take a second to talk about that happened last night. Florida State basketball goes on the road. Most of you guys know this. If you're a Florida State fan, you at least watch this. We're just going to spend about 5 minutes on this because I want to give a quick shout out to Luke Laux, man. This is a basketball program that has not had a lot of excitement around it for quite some time, probably since the COVID season when we got robbed of what may have been the best Florida State basketball team in history. But man, they go on the road last night and they give number 10 Florida, reigning defending national champion, all they can handle. Final was 78-76. They did lose. But, man, they came into that game as a 17.5-point dog. You were on the road. It was your first road contest against a top 10 Florida team. You led that game at half. You had a chance to win it late. I thought they played, you know, I thought they – it's just a different mentality with this team. And and I love what they're doing early on. They're 2-1 on the season so far. They got some winnable games coming up. You know, when you look at this game, and I'll let you talk more about the game because you know more, a lot more about basketball than I do, but they did get killed on the boards, right? 58-36, and offensive rebounds is what did them in. But they did outshoot Florida from three. They outshot them from the free throw line. So they played hard, man. They played good. And so this was a game that you really didn't expect them to win. You wanted them to win, but you didn't expect them to win. And I think you can walk out of this one, you know, from knowing the difference in these two basketball teams. Again, one is a defending national champion and one is in a rebuild. Yeah. Coming out of that game on the road by a 2-point loss as a 17.5-point dog, you've got to feel really good about where Florida State basketball is going forward. I mean, you got UT Martin up next coming up on Tuesday, November 18th, and you got four straight home games so they can stack some wins before they get into ACC play.
Yeah. Listen, you know, shout out to Robert McCray. I mean, he carried this team. He had 29 points, two rebounds, four assists, three steals. You know, he did have five turnovers in the game. And that when you're playing the national champion, you got to make sure you can't have live ball turnovers. And I think those hurt them. And then just in general, like you said, man, they got killed on the boards. I mean, they gave up 58 rebounds, and of those 58, 17 were offensive rebounds. And so when you're playing a team that you're punching way above your weight class, you know, and in the sense of just Florida, you know, being a national championship and you're coming off of some really bad years, man, the thing you can't do is you can't give up second chance points. You cannot. Florida rebounded 91% of FSU's misses, like in basketball in general. That's a recipe for disaster, right? Yeah. And then add on top of that, they were to rebound their own misses at a high clip. Like, that puts you in a situation where then, like, you can't set up your offense, because in basketball, you want to play a lot of defense with your offense, right? They're going to take shots. They're going to do all those things, but your offense can set up your defense. And when they're rebounding 17 of their misses, you're not getting a chance to do that. But kudos to Florida State. Kudos to Luke Laux. I mean, you took the defending national champions down to the wire. I mean, you were down 1 point. That's what I was trying to think of. You were down 1 point with less than 30 seconds to go, and you missed a free throw. You hit that free throw. It's a tied game, and all the pressure's on them because they're supposed to win the game. I mean, they were a 17.5-point favorite to win that game, and you're right there in it. So that goes to show you that he's got something building. Now the question is, can he build on top of that?
Yeah, and I mean, they played Alabama really tight in a exhibition game early in the season too. And so, you know, you like I said, you got some winnable games coming up in November. You got Texas A&M there towards the end. That might give you a little bit of challenge. In December, you do have a little tough schedule there. You got Georgia coming up. Then you got number one Houston right now. And then you start ACC play with North Carolina at the end of the year on December 30th. And then you jump in. You got Duke in January, Syracuse, Miami. You got some big, you know, you got some pretty big games coming up. But, man, if you can get some early season momentum for a team that's really kind of starting a little bit hot, even with a loss, I think you can turn that into some wins. And you know, maybe this can be a team that can surprise us this year. I mean, obviously, they're doing better than expected in the early parts of a rebuild. But, man, just, again, I want to give a shout-out to Luke Laux and what he's doing over there with the basketball program. I want to be excited about basketball again, man. It's fun when Florida State's good at basketball, and so that would be nice. And, you know, one of the things that I have on my shopping list this weekend, Michael, when I get to Tallahassee, is I'm going to pick me up some Florida State basketball shirts from Alumni Hall, because I mean, look, man, if we're going to talk about them, we got to be about them. We got to support these guys. So I'm going to go hit up Alumni Hall, 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee. If you're going to be there for the game, it's a great location with all kinds of FSU gear. You know, like we said, man, they got football stuff, of course, but they also have basketball and baseball gear for you as well. As the seasons transition, they'll obviously get more of that in stock, but make sure you check those guys out. That's the first place I go when I hit Tallahassee to go grab some stuff. Michael, it's cold out. Like, I got to go get – it's going to be in the 40s at that game at NC State next week. So I have to get – I have a hoodie on the checklist as number one because it's going to be cold. It's snowed where we're at, like I said. Oh. So it's pretty crazy. So, yeah, man, make sure you guys check out Alumni Hall in Tallahassee or shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and make sure you save 10%. If you're going to get the gear, you might as well save some money. And you can do that by using code SPEAR. You can use that online or in store. Just tell them we sent you. You want to use code SPEAR and they'll get you hooked up. So we appreciate you guys supporting those and for them supporting us. But, Michael, let's talk about this football game that we have on Saturday. I know this is – whatever you want to call it, the disappointment bowl, the James Franklin Bowl, as it's being referred to, you know, we're both kind of tied to that name. They said last night they're tanking for Franklin or something like that. They want for
Franklin.
So they think, like, if we win, right, we are not going to be able to, you know, Mike Norvell might not get fired. So they're wanting Mike Norvell to kind of keep his job. So maybe if they tank and help him keep his job, they can get James Franklin. They're not trying to win the battle. They're trying to win the war. So
they're trying to win the war.
That is a funny saying, tanking for Franklin. So, yeah, man, but 4-5, 3-6 is not the game we wanted, but I think it can still be a fun game to watch. You got a lot of similarities between these two teams. You got mobile quarterbacks, and you got some pretty decent defenses here. 7:30 p.m. at night under the lights in Doak. Always love a night game. The weather's going to be amazing this weekend, so that's going to be another thing to look forward to. It is going to air on ACC Network.
Of course.
Michael, I finally got the scissors out and cut YouTube TV off because they can't get this thing figured out. So I'm like, I'm not paying for it for nothing. So hopefully they can get that figured out. I'm watching on the ESPN app right now. They're getting you either way, man. I hate it. But you know what I find weird about this game, Michael, is Florida State is a 13.5-point favorite. That feels very generous for a Florida State team that's been really up and down. But I think a lot of that has to do with being better at home. You are 4-2 at home. Your losses are to what turned out to be a pretty good Pitt team and also a pretty decent Miami team. And so I think they're looking at you just being at home. Virginia Tech has only played two road games so far this season. They're 1-1 on the road. They are much better in Lane Stadium over the past few years versus on the road. Your over-under is 54.5. If you break that down, your implied score is 34-21 FSU. I kind of like that score. I might be a little bit closer than that. The money line, 96% of the money is on FSU, but 88% is on Virginia Tech to cover. So I'm thinking that's where my mind is actually at. I'm thinking we're looking at a close and a cover situation here. For the Hokies, obviously, most of you know they fired head coach Brent Pry. He got fried.
He got fried.
He did. Pry got fried. He got fried against Old Dominion, and then he got fired soon after. So, man, they started out, obviously, with a loss in the Beamer Bowl to South Carolina. They thought that was going to be, you know, a pretty decent team. Turns out they're 3-6, and they're terrible. So that loss now looks worse. Then they hold tight against Vandy in the first half, and I think they got outscored like 38-0 in the second half, and that's when the wheels really started to come off. Then they get blown out 45-26 by Old Dominion. Brent Pry gets fired after that. Some of the Virginia Tech guys that I was talking to said that was where you saw the quit.
Yeah.
But then Philip Montgomery, offensive coordinator, gets named as the interim coach, and they seem to have bought back in, man. They come back next week. They get a 38-6 win over Wofford FCS team. Not much to talk about there. But then they get the most head-scratching win of the season, And they go into Carter Finley and beat NC State 23-21. And this is why that game coming up next week, I'm like, I don't feel good about it. But if Virginia Tech can walk in there and beat them, then, you know, anybody's got
maybe
a chance.
Maybe we should fire our coach right before we go into that game.
Maybe, right? Because, I mean, we haven't won a road game in 2 years. So maybe. And then they lose to Wake 30-23 at home. Obviously, we know Wake is 6-3. They're pretty good. They did lose 35-20 at Georgia Tech, who is 8-1. They won 42-34 double overtime against Cal, who's actually 6-4, man. Cal's quietly decent out there, considering their quarterback right now is a Heisman front runner at Indiana, and Jade Knott left too. So, like, they lost their two best players, and they're still winning more games than Mike Norvell is. And then last week, they lose 28-16 versus Louisville, who is 7-2. They are coming off a bye.
Yeah.
So that game was 2 weeks ago. Up next, they have Miami and Virginia. So I'm going to be cheering for the Hokies after our game to pull off some upset magic against Miami and maybe even Virginia. We'll see. Yeah. But, man, again, when I look at this schedule, I look up and down it, man, I look and I see a team that – this is a question that I asked one of the Virginia Tech guys last night. Like, okay, you guys have every reason to quit, right? I mean, you're 3-6. You're not playing for much. Your head coach is gone. You don't know what your future holds. But these box scores do not say that your team has quit. These are all pretty close. And he told me, he's like, no, man, actually, they're still playing hard. The biggest thing that they're suffering from right now is obviously when you fire your coach 3 games into a season, you can still retain a redshirt for that year and you can still save that eligibility. So they had a lot of opt-outs. He said, we've lost a lot, especially off the defensive side of the ball where, you know, not only did you lose your head coach, he was a defensive guy. So he was kind of your coach that you committed to, right? And so they had a lot of opt-outs, which has really hurt them. But they got other problems too. But that's one of the things that maybe doesn't get looked at enough when you talk about the struggles that this Virginia Tech team has had, is they are kind of undermanned with what they got. But, you know, again, like I said, man, I'll throw it back to you for some thoughts on the schedule. When I look at these games, you know, it was a one-score loss to Wake. You beat NC State, 15 points to Georgia Tech, who's a really good team. Then you beat Cal, and then you lose by just a couple to a really good Louisville team. This is a team that's still playing hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team that is still trying to play for the season and try to, you know, play together as a team. It's clear that, you know, they're in the game, but it's also clear that you can see on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they went through a 3-game streak where they gave up at least 30 points. Obviously, I know the Cal game went into overtime. They gave up 34 there. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, they gave up 28 to Louisville. But, you know, 28-16, that's a 12-point game. That means that you're going in the fourth quarter with a chance to try to win that game. You know, and so this is not going to, they're not going to walk into Doak Campbell, just roll over for Florida State. They're going to come in and play hard, and Florida State's going to need to have to show up. I mean, this team has proven that even with the tumultuous season that they've been in, even with the 6 losses, with no coach, with people opting out, they're still playing hard. They're still playing for the brand that is the Virginia Tech. And so
they're probably praying for it too.
They're probably praying for it too as well. I know they're tanking for Franklin, but they're not going to.
They're praying for Franklin.
For Franklin, but they're not going to pray and tank, you know, just for nothing. Like, they're going to give Florida State run for their money. Florida State has to make them quit. That's what's going to be one of the big keys to the game.
Yeah, I think that's what maybe concerns me the most is Florida State has been so hot or not, right? And thankfully, most of the hot has been at home. Like, I even told the Virginia Tech guys last night, if this game was in Blacksburg, I don't think I'd pick Florida State in this one. And that's kind of how close I think it is. But I think if the Florida State that we saw against Wake Forest and Alabama and that just came out of nowhere and started playing good shows up, I think they can definitely win this game and maybe even cover. It's just, man, I have a hard time picking Florida State in back-to-back games being consistent because they just haven't shown the ability to do that, especially, you know, coming off that loss at Clemson, that disappointing loss at Clemson. So let's talk about the Virginia Tech offense here. Now, this is going to be kind of their struggling side of the ball. Not a whole lot going on. They have not faced a top 30 defense yet this season. Florida State comes in at 34th. So we will be one of the tougher defenses that they have faced. And the defense has actually been playing pretty decent lately. So if they can have another game, you know, like they did against Clemson, like they did against Wake, because, you know, it's funny when I go on these Virginia Tech shows, everybody's like, I look at your stat list and I look at your record and it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, tell me about it.
Tell us about it.
I'm watching it. Like, we just find ways to lose the game. And so the defense, you know, the defense was the problem early on. Now it's kind of been the offense. And so I think if the defense can have a game like they did against Clemson and Wake Forest, you can shut this offense down because it's not been great. Scoring offense, 24.3 points per game, 22.1 versus Power 4 opponents. So they're not scoring a whole lot. They have not scored over 30 points versus a Power Four opponent in regulation this season. They scored 27 against Cal before they got to double overtime. So they have not scored over 30 points against a Power Four opponent in regulation. So if you can score 30, you feel pretty good about where you're at in beating this team. Passing offense, 115th in the country, 177 yards per game, 117th in completion percentage, but 63rd in passing touchdowns. A lot of that has to do with Kyron Drones. He is a veteran dual threat quarterback, but man, he's just been really inconsistent throughout his career. He's been banged up at times, had a lot to do with it. But, you know, when you look at his season, man, through the air, 1,592 yards, 58.5% completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 85th in QBR. He's been sacked 20 times. You know, he's not thrown for over 200 yards in the past 5 games, only threw for 76 yards against Louisville. And when I talked to the Virginia Tech guys, we were kind of joking about, I was explaining how with Tommy, the more he throws, the worse we get. And they're like, dude, we're in the same boat. Like, the more Kyron Drones throws the ball, the more chance we have of losing. So you actually want to see him use his legs, and he will. He has rushed for almost 500 yards and 8 touchdowns this season. So he is a guy that, you know, as they said, the offense kind of goes with what Kyron Drones does, and he's not a prolific quarterback. And so I think this is going to be – he can hurt you with his legs, right? He is mobile, but he's not one of the better passing quarterbacks. So I like the way that matches up, knowing what our secondary has kind of been getting carved up a little bit lately. Now, on the rushing offense, it is their strength. 41st in the country, 182 yards per game. They are 33rd in yards per carry at 4.86, but they're 103rd in rushing touchdowns. And so knowing that that is their strength, and Florida State has been good against the run. You know, we shut Miami's run down. You held Clemson, I believe, under 100 yards rushing. You've done good against the run. So I like the way this offense and defense matches up for Florida State. You know, your strength is against their strength, and so they can't really expose your weakness. And if they do, your pass defense is better than their pass offense. So I really do like that matchup. Just a couple of names to know here. As far as the running backs go, Marcellus Hawkins I was told by the boundary corner guys that is the name to know. That is the one guy that's kind of their all-purpose back, can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's kind of their home run hitter. 98 attempts, 576 yards, 5.9 yards per carry, and 1 touchdown. And then Terrion Stewart is the bowling ball type of guy, right? He's 5'9", 222. They nickname him Bully. 63 attempts, 395 yards, 6.3 yards per carry, and has not scored a rushing touchdown this season. So when you talk about that rushing offense, man, they told me that they want to see it get to about 40 carries, right? If they get to 40 carries, they feel pretty good about their chance to win. If that number is down in the 20s and Kyron Drones is having to throw the ball a lot, then they're going to be in trouble, which is the same thing that we feel like with Tommy, right? It's almost the same kind of identical situation. Almost
same.
Yeah, and so that's what they want to see. The offensive line pass block efficiency is 128th in the country, so they've struggled a little bit there out of 136 teams, and they've allowed 21 sacks, which is 98th in the country. So, man, not a great offense by any means here. A lot of the narrative from talking with the Virginia Tech guys where they're just worried they aren't going to be able to score enough. That's their biggest concern in this game. So hopefully the offense shows up, because I think you have some real opportunity against this Virginia Tech offense that's struggling right now.
Yeah, it's interesting that they say that Hawkins is like their kind of all-purpose back, 98 carries for 576, but he only has 10 catches for 72 yards on the season. So, like, what do they define as all-purpose? Seems very much like, they're just trying to run that ball. And Kyron Drones is going to be the lead rusher. He has the most attempts on the season, 127 rushing attempts for basically 499 yards, averaging 3.9 a carry, and he has the predominant, and when I say predominant, I mean 90% of their rushing touchdowns. He has 8 on the season to the two. Everybody else has total 2.
That's
and he
insane.
Has 8. So he is the guy really that, again, one of my keys to this game is going to be make them one-dimensional. You are going to have to I mean, this is a game of all games. Jesse, how many times have I complained about this is a game where you bring your corners up and you put them on islands, and you say, I dare you to beat us with your arm. You are not going to run this ball. You're not going to. We're going to stack the line. We're going to have 4 or 5 bare front lines. We're over lines. Like, we're going to make you throw the ball on us. Because if anything, you're right. That's what they want to do. Their leading receiver right now is the Aiden Green kid with 24 catches, 382 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like, that's their leading receiver. The next guy has 21, 18, 16, 13, 11, 10, and 10, and then a spread out there. Like, they're not throwing the ball much, again, no. because they're like us. If Drones has to throw probably, I don't know what the statistic are, you're the statistic guy, but I'm sure there's a certain number. If he's throwing over, it's the end of the day for them, just like it is with Tommy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And even when I asked about the receiver position, Aiden Green was the name that come up. But even then, he was like, yeah, I mean, he's kind of the best guy if I had to name one, but he had 17 yards against Louisville. So it was kind of like, that's not – he's got three games under 20 yards so far. So, yeah, man, it's just not – it's not a great offense, and it's not a great passing offense. And so I – you know, but it's a legitimate running offense at 182 yards per game, 41st in the country. But a lot of that comes, like you said, on Drone's legs. And so I think if you can – if you can load the box and try your best to take away the run and make them throw the ball and then kind of make Drones a little bit uncomfortable back there, man, I think you can have a lot of success against this team. I mean, it's really been the heavy passing teams that we've had the most trouble against.
Yeah.
You know, you've done pretty good against the run heavy teams. And so I would like to see Florida State employ that in this game. Now let's switch over and talk about the Virginia Tech defense. They have faced three top 25 offenses this season. Florida State is at 17th. Of course, we know that is skewed a little bit with those two cupcake games in there. D tackle is a strength for them. They have not had any opt-outs there. I was kind of asking about the defense. They did have a few in the secondary, which kind of you'll see in the numbers when we go through this. Scoring defense, they are allowing 29.7 points per game, 102nd in the country, 30.9 points per game against Power 4 opponents. So you feel like you should be able to get to about 30 in this game. And fun fact, they have given up at least 21 points versus every FBS opponent this season. So you feel like you should be somewhere above 21 and somewhere to about 31 points. That feels like a range that you can get in this game if they're giving that up against every opponent. They're pretty balanced on defense, though. Pass defense, 71st in the country, 221 through the air. Rush defense, 73rd in the country, 147 on the ground. So they're pretty balanced there, but there is some things to note about that pass defense. They are 124th in completion percentage allowed, 105th in yards per attempt allowed, and 53rd in passing touchdowns. Now, when you talk about the rushing defense, they are 86th in yards per carry at 4.35. But here's where I think Florida State has a big opportunity. Virginia Tech ranks 121st in rushing touchdowns allowed with 20 this season. So I think Florida State, if they can pound a rock and score on the ground and not ask Tommy to do too much, I think you'll be in good shape. Now, some other areas that they have struggled in turnovers forced, they're 126 with only 6 turnovers forced this season, 4 picks and 2 fumbles. They have sacked the quarterback 18 times, which is 67th in the country. And that was one of the things that they told me is the one kind of thing that they've been okay at, right? It's not special. They've had a couple no-sack games, a couple one-sack games, but I did see where they had 4-2 games and 5-1 games. So he said whenever we're getting pressure on the quarterback, that's when our defense is working the best. It's just not consistently been done for them. Third down defense is 41.8% conversions, 96th in the country. They said they are terrible on third down, and we're actually pretty good on third down. So that could be something to watch in this game. And then the one area, Michael, that really stands out to me is their red zone defense. They are allowing scores on 97% of trips. That's good for 134th in the country out of 136 teams. And not only are they giving up 97% of scores on trips, it's been 24 touchdowns to 9 field goals. So they're giving up a ton of touchdowns. And Florida State right now ranks 64th in red zone scoring with 30 touchdowns and 7 field goals. So Florida State, if you can get the ball into the red zone and, you know, not fumble it, not get penalties, you feel pretty good about getting in there. And they had even told me that, like, the red zone pass defense is basically non-existent. You're going to score almost every time. So we may want Tommy to throw the ball just a little bit in the red zone. And then explosive plays, they have given up 46 this season, which is 106 in the country. 32 of those came through the pass, 14 through the run. Now, that 14 through the run is 104th in the country. So they have not been great at stopping explosive plays, which is big because, you know, Florida State, again, you are 7th in plays over 20 yards. You're 3rd in plays over 40 yards. So you've been hitting explosives. We know that's just Tommy to do basically every time. But, man, when we get into the final thoughts and stuff about this game, like, before we do that, give me some thoughts on this Virginia Tech defense and how you think Florida State needs to attack them.
Yeah, well, I think the key thing is play to your strength. I mean, you're a rushing offense. I mean, I know they're 73rd in the country in rushing, but you should be able to hit your current average. I think you're averaging over 140. Is it still two? Is it still 226? Is that what they're still averaging Florida State?
Yeah, rushing? But I think you got to average that out. I'll get it for you.
Okay, yeah. So I think, honestly, they need to be in that 140 range. That's what they've been recently averaging. Around 140.
We have not rushed for over 200 in like the last four games, I think.
Yeah. So but you need to play to your strength. Okay. The object of this game is you've got to make sure that you are running the ball consistently between the tackles, that you're getting out on the edge, that you're creating over leveraging for Virginia Tech to overread and do. And then, yeah, you want to sprinkle in. Notice the word I'm using, sprinkle in the pass game.
A very light sprinkle.
A very light sprinkle, and you want some deep shots. You want some screen stuff there, a couple over the middle stuff, you know, for LaWayne McCoy, for Deuce there. But man, you really want to run this ball. I want to see Sam Singleton. I want to see Chroma or Salcher. I just want to see them running. Just keep running that ball. Offensive line, you should be blowing this defensive line off the line of scrimmage. That's going to be the big key. And then you're sprinkling in the passing there to make sure you stay there. Again, this is the 71st passing offense in the country, or passing defense in the country, 73rd rushing defense. You should be able to move the ball. And then when you get into the red zone, because they're allowing a 97% conversion rate in the red zone, you need touchdowns. Okay, that's what hurts you. You know, you got in the red zone against Clemson and you fumble the ball away. You drive down and you're kicking field goals and he's missing them. You got to get into the red zone and then you got to score.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I looked it up while you were talking. We are averaging 168 on the ground versus power four opponents this season. They're giving up 153. So you should be able to hit your mark.
Hit your average.
There. Yeah, you should be able to hit your average there. And I think that would be enough. Like you said, man, I think the big thing as we get into final thoughts and predictions here is you don't want Tommy to throw the ball a lot. That's not where you want to be. And a couple other notes I have here about Virginia Tech. They are 106 in penalties per game with 7.2. So let them make the mistakes this time around. Right. How about that? Right. They're also not super great in turnover margin. I think they're -2 on this. The one thing that does worry me just a little bit is Tommy Castellanos does not have a great history against Virginia Tech.
Of course, right?
This is the thing that I didn't even know about, right, until they reminded me. And then I learned this, you know, against Virginia, where I didn't think about that. And then they reminded me that he had some struggles. Now, obviously, we know different team, different teammates, different guy, just kind of happens to be the same name that played against them, right? There's a big difference between Boston College and Florida State and all that. But in the last two meetings, 2024, Tommy did throw for 65.4% completion percentage, 285 all-purpose yards, but he had two touchdowns and three fumbles, and they lost that game 42-21. 2023 was the real stinker. 50% completion percentage only, 153 all-purpose yards, one touchdown, two picks, and they lost 48-22. So again, man, and those were not some great Virginia Tech teams either. And so I think there is that little bit there. Like they, you know, it's different staff, different time, different DC and all that stuff. But as we've talked about in the Virginia game, sometimes those cobwebs, sometimes those memories, you know what I mean, live in the back of your head of I have struggled against this team. So that is one thing that does concern me a little bit is Tommy has not done well against Virginia Tech. But man, when we get to the keys to victory here, again, I think this is a game that Florida State can win. For me, the keys are this will literally determine the game. Right. This is it. This one stat. Keep Tommy under 20 attempts. Right. So in our four wins, Tommy Castellanos has averaged 13.5 attempts per game and had zero games with over 20 attempts in a win. In our five losses, Tommy Castellanos has averaged 34.2 attempts per game, and they've all been over 20 attempts. I think we threw it 42 or 43 times against Clemson last week. So you got to keep Tommy. You have to run the ball enough to allow Tommy to throw the ball about 15 to 18 times. That's really about all you want to see out of him from the passing aspect. Number two is play a clean game. Man, yeah. I say this every freaking week, but when you don't shoot yourself in the foot, you win games. And they had chances to win the game against Clemson, and it was not playing a clean game with penalties and turnovers and missed field goals and things like that that ended up costing you that game. So play a clean game. Yeah. You know, playing a, I guess you call it a dirty game or whatever, playing a not clean game is how you allow a bad team to win, right? That's how you see those crazy upsets where it's a bunch of penalties and turnovers and stuff like that. And then number three for me is bring the energy, right?
Yep.
Let's see that team that we saw against Wake. Like, it's the last home game. It's senior night. It's under the lights. I don't think it's going to be a great crowd, but because it's the last home game, I think it's going to be okay. Bring the energy, man. Bring the energy and act like you want to be there. Act like you want to win this game. And I think it is a very winnable game for Florida State. So, man, give me some final thoughts and predictions, and then or final thoughts and keys, and then we'll make a score prediction.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's senior night again. Like, you want to send whomever our seniors out with a bang, right? Last home game. You want to end the season with a win and on your dope camp on Dope Campbell Stadium Field, because Jesse, if they win, they let us get on the field. Just so you know, remember, like, they usually do that. So that'd be nice to be able to get on the field again. You know, we hadn't been on the field since Alabama, which feels like 80 years ago. It'd be nice to be able to end the home slate with a win and feel, you know, decent, regardless of whatever else is supposed to happen for the season, just to feel good about that. So let's do that. You know, my keys to the game is I've mentioned them throughout this episode. Number one is you got to make them one dimensional, force Kyron Jones to beat you with his arm, not his legs, you know, stuff the run, be just attacking downhill on that run game. Number two, when you get into the red zone, you got to score touchdowns. You can't rely on field goals, right? That means that I would even say that once you're on their side of the 40-ish, it's four down territory automatically. Yeah. You just got to go every time. And then
for Mike Norvell, if you're on your 40, it's fourth down territory.
Yeah, it's fourth down territory. Exactly.
Buddy don't care where it is.
He will go in his own 10. right. And then number three is overcome Tommy. And what I mean by that is, to your point about, like, it makes me want to change my pick, because I didn't hear about the Virginia thing until obviously during the game, and then of course, like, we saw it play out again. Like, he just struggled against Virginia, and so he has a history of struggling against Virginia Tech. When he has to throw more than 15 to 18 passes and he's over in that 20-30 range, it's an automatic L for Florida State. He's just not that great of a passer. So overcome Tommy by making sure you're calling plays that keep you ahead of the chains so you don't get behind. If you do those three things, then I think you can walk out of Dope Campbell with a win for the last home game.
Yeah, and please do. I mean, like you said, regardless of what happens with the coaching situation later down the road, man, I am 1-5 in my last six games over the last two seasons. I just want to see a win. Like, I just give me a win, because I'm not counting on winning next week at Carter-Finley. So just man, just one bright spot, right? It's been a long couple of years. Let me end on a high note, or maybe they win two in a row or something. I don't know, in Raleigh next week. But, man, when I get down to my score prediction here, I said this before and I'll say it again. If this game was in Blacksburg in Lane Stadium, I would pick Virginia Tech to win, because we have not won a road game in 2 years. That's how kind of close I think this game could be. Also, we were 12.5-point favorite against Wake and won by 35 at home. So this has been a much better team at home. Again, we're 4-2 at home, and the two losses were to two pretty good teams considering where we're at. And so this is not a pretty good team. No disrespect to Virginia Tech. This is not a good team. But I do think they're going to play hard, so I think they're going to keep it a little bit closer than maybe people will think. And so I still have Florida State winning, because, again, they give up around 31 points a game. And, you know, I think Florida State has – the offense has struggled lately, but this is not a great defense with a ton of talent. They've had some opt-outs. So I think you can kind of find your footing on offense here at home. For the defense, has been playing pretty good, man. If you held Clemson to 24 points and you held Wake to 7 and this offense isn't any better – you know, man, actually, I'm talking a little bit extra because I'm debating on changing my score prediction as we're doing this. So originally, I will say I have Florida State winning 31-21. I have Florida State winning, Virginia Tech covering. I kind of want to change that to like 31-17, because I just worry about that offense being able to score. And for what it's worth, I will say this. Every one of the Virginia Tech guys that I recorded with picked Florida State to win. And they said it's a points thing. There was a lot of 27-17s in there. They just don't think they're going to score a lot of points. So I'm going to take Florida State to win. I think the game might be closer than people think. Maybe 31-21 was my original prediction. But, man, the more we talk about how bad that offense is, I could see something like 31-17. But either way, I got Florida State getting a win in their final game at Dope Campbell Stadium.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that. The thing is, they've only scored less than 20 points twice. They lost. They only scored 11 against South Carolina on the neutral site. And then they lost, obviously, 2 weeks ago at home. They only scored 16 against Louisville. Everything else.
I'll stick with 31-21 then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so they're going to – I think they're going to put up at least 20 points. They've only done that not – they've only not done that twice on the season.
Yeah, so I'll stick with that. 31-21. Florida State wins, Virginia Tech covers. How about that?
Okay, I like that. Yeah, because here's the thing. We can go in thinking like, you know, their offense shouldn't score 10 points against this defense based on the numbers, right?
Drones will have a Heisman moment.
Exactly. He will have a Heisman moment. He'll run around there looking like Michael Vick, the third coming of Michael Vick again. We just know that's probably likely going to be part of the scenario of the night. So for me, you know, I have always felt just throughout this year that Florida State, just whatever you think of them, pick the opposite, because you think they're going to show up, you think they're going to do this, and then they don't, and then you don't think they'll do this, and then they do, and it's just over and over again. So I got Virginia Tech covering the spread, but losing.
Okay, you had me 20. There. Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, my
friend.
You said
31-20?
No, 28-20.
28-20, okay. You had me.
Yep.
You had me in the first half. You had me. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, but in the second half,
I was getting cooked.
For real. So you got me. So no, man. I think it's good, right? You just want to get a win. Yeah. Period. It doesn't matter if you cover anything like that. At this point, you're 4-5. Just win the daggone game. Because remember, like I said, man, if you lose, and I know Mike Norvell's lost to an interim coach before against Florida, but if you are a $10 million head coach and you lose to a team with no head coach, then what are you doing as a head coach? And so I think if you lose this, you should be fired, right? But I'm done guessing when they're going to fire him, because we don't know if they're going to or not.
We don't know.
So with that being said, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate you guys watching. Drop a like and subscribe if you enjoyed this content. If you've been having fun with us throughout this miserable season, we're just hanging in there for a little bit longer. Drop a like and subscribe. We'd really, really appreciate that. We're trying to push for that 3,000 subscriber mark. It would mean a lot to us. Again, you guys are as big of a part of this show as we are, and we really appreciate the community. Yep. Looking forward to this Saturday at Virginia Tech. We're going to be meeting up with some people. Man, I can't wait to just connect with our community again. And then, of course, if you are going to be in Raleigh next week, remember, we are having a big tailgate at Carter Finley Stadium along with our friends from Unconquered Tailgating. So make sure you follow us on social media, because we'll be keeping you updated with details about that. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. If you'd like to join the PTS tribe, you can do that for $5 a month. Everything goes back into the show, and it helps us make a better product for you. As always, don't forget about Alumni Hall, the title sponsor of Plant the Spear. Save 10% with code SPEAR on some FSU gear. So, guys, we appreciate you watching, and we will see you on the other side. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.